This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Now, please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 as we join Pastor Sandy for part one of his message entitled, A Parent's Tools.
You know, I've met parents who have great ambitions for their children. They're hoping to shape child prodigies. Academically, musically, artistically, maybe athletically. They spend time and money on camps and lessons and trainers. And there's nothing wrong with providing children with these advantages. But you can do all that I've mentioned and more and not fulfill a parent's purpose. For as we learned last week, above all else, a parent's God-given responsibility is to teach their children obedience and respect. You see, left to himself, a child will disobey and go his own way. A child needs to learn to obey and honor, and he or she won't learn it from the world we live in. It's a parent's purpose to teach them. We're studying here Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Paul's principles for parents. Remember our acrostic that's serving as an outline for our studies on parenting, PTA. P, a parent's purpose. That was last week. Today, it's the T, a parent's tools. And then next week, it'll be the A, what a parent needs to avoid. This morning, though, we want to look at the tools of a parent. Chapter 6 in Ephesians reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." And then today's instruction, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Again, last week we talked about a parent's purpose. We need to teach our children obedience and respect. You see, you win a child's respect while you insist on their obedience. And then you teach them to obey by employing two tools, the training and admonition of the Lord. Or to say it another way, correction and direction. Paul is telling us that godly parenting is a proper blend of both discipline and encouragement. Martin Luther put it this way, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." That is true. "But beside the rod, keep an apple to give him when he has done well." You see, to be a good parent, you need two tools, a rod and an apple. My second son, Nick, he was a great kid, but he was a kid nonetheless. And there were days when Nick, like all kids, would push his limits and test his boundaries. Well, one such day when Nick was about 5 years old, he had pushed and pushed, and he had pushed me to the brink. Finally, I sent him to his room while I went to the kitchen to fetch the dreaded wooden spoon. I was just about to dish out the discipline when Nick looked up to me through teary eyes, and with his little quivering voice, he asked, "Dad, when you finish spanking me, will you give me a great big hug?" Well, my heart melted. I mean, what an anger-diffusing, daddy-disarming, mercy-motivating comment for a child to make. And of course, being the loving, compassionate father that I am, guess how I responded to my son? I said, "Nick, your daddy will give you a warm hug right after I give you the spanking you deserve." Then I took that spoon and I applied the discipline my child needed. For it takes both warm hugs and wooden spoons to properly and biblically raise a child. Hebrews 12, verse 7 insists that a wooden spoon is as sure a sign of parents' love as a warm hug. It says, "What son is there whom a father does not chasten?" In fact, the parent who only uses warm hugs and never employs a wooden spoon really doesn't love their child. Today, I want to talk about using both. Both warm hugs and wooden spoons are the tools that are needed to teach your children obedience and respect. First, let's talk about the training of the Lord, the wooden spoon. The word training is a Greek word, paideia. It means to educate through discipline. You've heard of the paideia school. It's a fitting name. The key to disciplining your children correctly is to ask yourself the question, is the discipline I've chosen providing a learning opportunity for my child? You see, discipline should train, not torture. It should prepare, not punish. Proper discipline will accomplish at least three purposes. It corrects, it protects, and it perfects. First, proper discipline, it corrects a crooked course. It pulls in the reins on a child who started to buck and rebel. It checks, it trumps their wrong choices. Kathy and I, we had four kids who liked to assert their independence, and that was good. We let go a little at a time, and they learned to flap their wings, no doubt about it. But if they strayed too far off of course, it was our job to step in and ground those little birds. A parent has to be brave enough to recognize a wrong course and put their foot down. You see, it's my job to let my kids know that privilege and responsibility goes hand in hand. And you don't get the privilege without accepting the responsibility. Here's a great quote from a wise mother, Susanna Wesley. She raised a couple of famous kids, John and Charles. Her words are now 200 years old, but they're timeless. She wrote, "In order to form the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer the will and bring them to an obedient temper. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must with children proceed by slow degrees. But subjecting the will is a thing which must be done at once, and the sooner the better. For by neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and obstinacy which is hardly ever conquered. Whenever a child is corrected, it must be conquered. Self-will is the root of all sin and misery." Once my sons and I, we were walking across the football field after Nick's practice. Zach was about 15 at the time. And he says to me, "Dad, why don't you take your glasses off and wrestle me? I think I can take you." And he really meant it. His brothers were shocked. I mean, the order and stability of their world was under threat. I said, "Oh, you think you can take me?" I took my glasses off, I handed them to Mac, and in 5 seconds, I had that guy on the ground in a full Nelson, rubbing his little nose right into the grass. For the other two guys, the world was right again. The coup had been put down. Zach had underestimated the old man, and I had to correct his attitude. Of course, it was all in fun, but trust me, there had been other struggles with my kids that were no fun at all. They were draining and agonizing. Hey, with toddlers and then again with teenagers, there are lots of wrestling matches. Attitude corrections are a constant occurrence, and your child needs a parent who can wrestle and win. Hey, if I've learned nothing else about child rearing, I know one thing. A parent better win the battles. Kids need to know who's boss and that it's not them. Second, good discipline, it protects. When my kids were tots, I spanked them for running out into the street. It wasn't as much punitive as it was protective. I wanted them to view the street as a dangerous place, so I created an effective deterrent. My goal was to erect in their minds an invisible wall between them and the traffic. And when they became teenagers, I was still erecting invisible walls to protect my children from harm. See, a parent's job is to build moral and spiritual walls around their kids. You see, every parent is a Nehemiah. You remember Nehemiah? He was the Jew who returned from Babylon to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The previous wall lay in rubble. The city was a wasteland. For Jerusalem to prosper again, the city needed a protective wall surrounding it. You know, when I look at our society today, I see a Nehemiah-like situation. Morally, we're a wasteland. Spiritually, we're in ruins. Notions of truth and absolute values have been abandoned. Walls of right and wrong have been torn down. And if our kids are going to spiritually thrive, we need to rebuild walls of truth around them. Speaking of Nehemiah's efforts to rebuild the walls, there's an insightful verse. We're told in chapter 4, verse 13, where he stationed his guards. In essence, what part of the work he considered to be most vital. He says, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. Nehemiah's chief concern was the foundations and the openings. And this is where a parent needs to focus their discipline. Oppose any threat to your child's foundation, their belief system, and then watch out for the openings, their exposures to the outside world. Be attentive to what they believe and to what they receive. And this is the area where a parent not only battles the evil out there in the world, but often he battles his own children. For kids want to watch the hip movies and listen to the cool music and tune into the popular TV shows and have unlimited access to the internet, even when they're accessing moral filth and spiritual garbage. Curiosity and peer pressure combine to produce a blindness in our kids. At times, they just don't know why we say no. It reminds me of the kids who wanted to see a movie of which Dad did not approve. They explained to him, they said, but Dad, it only has 4 curse words, just 1 sex scene and some mild violence, but the special effects are incredible and the good guy wins in the end. Well, Dad still put his foot down. Later that night, Dad went into the kitchen and he made some brownies. Well, the kids could smell the aroma drifting through the house, and they were licking their chops. But just before they took their first bite, Dad told them, he said, I put just a little bit of dog poop in with the brownie mix tonight. It's not a lot, really. It shouldn't spoil the taste. They're still good brownies. And, of course, no one ate. But Dad was trying to get the kids to see the obvious. If a little poop in a brownie makes it inedible, why doesn't a little filth in a movie make it inappropriate? Parents, it's up to us to just say no, to build some walls for ourselves first, and then for our kids. I don't go see R-rated movies, and while they were under my roof, at least, neither did my kids. And did my teenagers always appreciate my standards? Oh boy, not hardly. At least not at the time. A parent loves their kids, and yet at times they're hated for insisting on what's best for them. You see, a mom and a dad, they have to remind themselves that they're not running for re-election. I mean, the goal of every parent is not to be popular, it's to grow healthy and holy and godly kids. You see, one day your kids are going to thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for not standing idly by and letting them load their minds down with trash. Mark Twain once said, when I was 16, I thought my dad was a fool. When I turned 21, I was amazed at what he had learned in 5 years. In the meantime, I have adopted Nehemiah's battle cry, chapter 4, verse 14, fight for your sons and for your daughters. Parenting involves a fight. Well, proper discipline, it corrects, it protects, but then third, it also perfects, or it matures. And this is the kind of discipline that begins in infancy. Put off a feeding to stay on schedule. Forbid a child from interrupting your adult conversation with another person. Respond to a request with, not now, son. Require some patience out of your child. You see, when you delay their gratification, it disciplines them and it builds character in them. Pediatrician John Roseman once wrote, a child isn't going to develop the strength of character to say no to things like drugs, alcohol, and sex in the absence of parents who themselves don't have strength to say no when the child whines for a new video game, the latest in stereo hardware, or a new car. You see, every child needs parents with the guts to say no. It's been said children are like stomachs. They don't need everything we can afford to give them. A child develops self-discipline from parental discipline. Kids don't need to be overindulged and given everything they want. They need to learn how to suppress a desire, do without a whim, turn from a temptation, put principle above convenience. Character grows through effective discipline. You see, proper discipline, it corrects, it protects, and it perfects. For kids to grow into responsible adults, they have to learn that certain actions carry painful consequences. So, when a parent disciplines a child, he allows that child to taste a healthy measure of those consequences. My discipline of my kids followed a three-pronged approach. First, I gave them a reason. Second, I gave them some rope. And then third, if need be, I gave them the rod. First, I would give them a reason. Hey, I would sit down with my kids, and I would explain the logic behind the law, the reason behind the rule. I tried to never follow my no with that stock parental excuse. You've heard it before. Just because I told you so. That's often the way to cover up for lame parenting. See, if a rule doesn't have a good reason behind it, then it needs to be discarded. Now, sometimes the only reason I could offer my child for saying no was a caution or an uneasiness that I felt that the Holy Spirit had put in my heart. Normally, the activity might be okay, but if I didn't have a peace from God about it, then my kids were taught that this was the best reason of all. Whenever a parent says no, we should be able to provide our children the reason and logic behind that decision. And yet, let me warn you, your reasons may not satisfy your child. For kids aren't always interested in logic, are they? So, that's when I would give them some rope. I would engineer a controlled crash. I would just lift the parental safety net just enough to let my children taste a little of the uncomfortable consequences that their actions were going to produce. When they were old enough to understand my instructions and yet ignored them, I would make sure they suffered the appropriate consequences. If their shoes weren't on when it was time to go, then they went in their socks. Wasn't my fault they didn't obey. If they ignored my advice and left their jacket behind, then when it got cold, they had to just sit there and bear it. If they didn't eat their dinner, they went to bed hungry. A few minutes of cold, one night without dinner, will not kill your child. I didn't fight about it, but I didn't bail them out either. I just gave my kids some rope. And I allowed them to experience the natural consequences of their actions. Sometimes it takes a child experiencing the byproduct of disobeying the rules for that child to understand the reason those rules were established in the first place. Becky was the little girl in our neighborhood who tattled to my mom. She said, "Mrs. Adams, Sandy hit me." There was a strict rule in our family of boys. Never, ever, under any circumstances, will you hit a girl? My mom was so upset with me. She was so disappointed. And I'm sure she wanted to spank me. But instead, she let me experience the consequences of my actions. At least, sort of. I'll never forget, she made me stand there on the back porch with my hands behind my back while Becky wound up and slapped me across the jaw just as hard as she could. My mom orchestrated the whole thing. 45 years later, it still smarts. It hurt my pride a lot more than it hurt my chin. But you know what? I have never hit a girl since. Never. When my son Zach was a sophomore in high school, I went to pick him up from school one day. And when I opened the door, rather than express his appreciation for me coming to pick him up, he immediately started to complain about me being 5 minutes late. I didn't get angry that day. I didn't act upset. I calmly tossed his book bag out on the pavement and told him he could walk the 3 miles home that day. And it made a definite impression on my son. Suddenly, he was more grateful. Amazing. You see, you give your child a reason, and then you give them some rope, and you let them experience the consequences of their actions. But after giving them a reason and some rope, if he or she still won't learn the lesson, or if the consequences of the violation are too severe, too painful to let them taste, then you need to manufacture some less painful consequences to get home the point. Say I tell my six-year-old not to play in the street, and he disobeys. Well, I'm not going to sit back and wait for a car to blindside him. Well then, now he knows why I told him not to run out in the street. No, when the consequences are too severe to let my child taste them, then it's up to me to manufacture less painful consequences to get my point home. In the case of that six-year-old, I'm going to get him out of the street before he gets hit, but then I'm going to spank his little bottom. I'm going to give him the rod. Parents, here are the three steps to good discipline. You give them a reason, you give them some rope, but then you give them the rod if need be. Now you ask, Pastor Sandy, do you really believe that God wants us to spank our kids? And my answer is a very qualified yes. And here are seven qualifications. First, never ever spank your child in anger. You cool off before you apply the heat. Always count to 10. Then count to 10 again if need be. Do whatever it takes to get in control of your emotions before you spank your child. Second, you make sure you're spanking them for the right reasons. You don't spank a child for being childish. That is, spilling a glass of milk or forgetting a chore. Kids will be kids. You only spank a child for a deliberate act of defiance. A parent's job is to curb and control their rebellion, not crush their spirit and their initiative. A third qualification is to never spank a child on the face or on the arm or on the head or on the ears. That's not discipline. That's cruelty. Note the genius of human anatomy. I mean, God created us fearfully and wonderfully made. That includes the human posterior. Have you noticed he put some extra cushion there? How amazing. And thus he identified the place we're supposed to paddle our kids. You spank your child where God put the extra padding. The rod is only for the rump. Fourth, I tried not to spank my child with my hand, ever. I always looked for a neutral object, my belt or a wooden spoon. That was the desired choice. When the scripture talks about a spanking, it always speaks of the rod. You see, you want your child to fear the rod, but to welcome your hands. And then fifth, you should be consistent. Often parents get lazy in their discipline. Don't just spank your child when it's convenient for you to do so, during commercials or at the halftime of the football game. No, discipline them diligently. Act when the need arises. And then sixth, always make sure your child understands why he's being spanked. Remember the biblical definition of training. It's to educate through discipline. And then seventh, make sure that the punishment fits the crime. It's been said, don't shoot a mosquito with a bazooka. You reserve the rod for what deserves the rod. The pain inflicted on the child needs to be in proportion to the degree of the child's defiance. But if you meet all of those seven qualifications, then absolutely I believe that God wants us to spank our kids. The Bible's clear. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 13, verse 24 goes as far as to say, he who spares the rod hates his son.
That concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast with Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us next time as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the book of Ephesians. You can learn a great deal about Pastor Sandy by visiting our website. The web address is sandyadams.org. That's sandyadams.org. Simply click on the radio program option from the main menu. When you click on the radio program option at sandyadams.org, you'll find today's message and many others from Pastor Sandy. You can download today's teaching, listen again, subscribe to the podcast, or browse the archive of messages. If you live in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area or will be passing through, you can get directions and the times of our services at our website, www.sandyadams.org. We love hearing how God's Word touches the lives of His followers. So please log on to sandyadams.org and click on the Contact Us link and send us a note about how today's message has encouraged you. Your feedback helps us tremendously. Once again, you've been listening to the daily Bible teaching program of Pastor Sandy Adams. Please tune in next time as we continue through the book of Ephesians. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.